As is the tradition, a champion crowned today in the world of college lacrosse. Denver doubles up Maryland 10-5. Your thoughts on the game?
Well, I think that my overwhelming thought is that I can't recall a high-profile matchup that went more according to script than that one. And I think that it was a little disappointing to see some action on Twitter about how boring the game was, because, you know, for me, it was actually really, really vindicating. I was like, hey, this is all the stuff that I said was going to happen. And there were some highlight reel goals and saves and you know, certainly enjoyed it. It didn't live up to the level that Saturday's semifinals had prepared for folks, given the fact that both of those came down to the wire and were one-goal games that featured heavy comebacks. But no, I mean, it was a game that, you know, Denver was one of the few teams that was going to be able to take advantage of Maryland from the faceoff X. And, you know, through the meat of the game, you saw that as Trevor Baptiste won 9 of the first 15 draws. And, you know, Denver got out to a nice start, scoring the first 3 goals. And I was really, really impressed by the Pioneers' defense and their ability to put the clamps down on Maryland. And an offense that had really emerged over the course of the last couple of weeks in terms of having, you know, more than just a couple of scorers they could rely on. Guys like Joe Lacasio and Brian Cole were held, you know, pretty well in check by Denver long sticks like Carson Cannon and Mike Reese, who really, really stood out to me.
Maryland had a great season. They go back to the finals. They make it to their 4th Final Four under John Tillman in 5 years. Very impressive, but if you haven't won a title since 1975, that's just not what people are going to look at, and that's understandable too, Terry. How big of a blow is this loss today for Maryland?
Well, you know, we talked about this last week, and I think that my comment was, because of how far they had exceeded expectations just by making it to the Final Four, I thought it would be difficult to hold Tills to the standard of having to win a championship in order to have a satisfying season. And there's a degree to which, you know, I think that even winning a championship game or a semifinal game, getting back to the championship, underscores that even further. The one thing that I will say is that, you know, as these programs are in this position where they're incrementally moving toward an increased likelihood of winning a championship, and for Maryland, you know, a team that had been a perennial quarterfinalist for the decade prior to Phil's arrival, now having ascended to a perennial Final Four team and having, you know, a relatively smaller hump to get over, having lost in the championship game 3 times now. I think that the analysis needs to be put on what do we need to do in order to win on Monday, and how do we narrow our focus that much? Because for a, you know, 3.5-month-long season that features 16 games, there's a lot of areas to get confused or get distracted. This is a Maryland program that's at the point now where, you know, I think that it's wise to start making decisions about how can we put ourselves in the best position to be able to win that Monday national championship game, because it's the only thing that we haven't done.
Yeah, that is very well said. It is the only thing they haven't done. We've gone almost as long without a Triple Crown winner in horse racing as we have without Maryland lacrosse winning the national championship. That's how hard it has become for them to consummate this thing. Going back to Saturday's semifinal games, both great. Right now, looking at Hopkins, I think you have to put a bow on it and say it was a great year from the rally, from a lot of terrible circumstances and things like that. But they find a way, and their season falls a little short, but Dave Petromala has to be pleased.
I would think so. I mean, I think that, you know, it's one of those situations where I'll put it in this context, and hopefully your listeners can relate, because I think there are a lot of Baltimore area folks who, you know, are familiar with Lynchburg College in Southern Virginia. They lost in the D3 championship game. It was the first time they'd been to the D3 championship, and I made the comment post-game that in that circumstance, I think I'd rather lose convincingly than lose by one goal, because at least at that point, you don't feel like it was a missed opportunity. It was simply getting beaten by a better team. Well, for Johns Hopkins, in the middle of the fourth quarter, it looked like they were simply getting beaten by a better team. They, you know, heartened up, made a run, got it to one goal. It got stretched back out, and then, you know, ultimately had a shot to win it at the end that was thwarted, sent it to overtime with a couple seconds to go, that was thwarted by one of the best saves I've seen all season, as Kyle Brunlor got the butt end of his stick on a Joel Tinney shot that set up the last second scrum and ultimately, you know, kind of decided the game. So I think for Johns Hopkins, it's got to, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a bitter taste in the sense that we were so close. It was such a slight missed opportunity. But on the other hand, as you said, the circumstances in conjunction with, you know, a couple of instances in which this team was, you know, kind of showed itself not necessarily to be championship caliber, you know, it makes it seem to me like it's a celebration, or it should be a celebration of what they accomplished, as opposed to, you know, finally falling just short in the end.
And Maryland, what kind of team do you think they'll have back next year?
Well, I think they're going to be good. You know, there were a lot of question marks heading in this season. And certainly, you know, there was a lot of attention paid to the recruits that they brought in their current sophomore class, the guys who just finished their second season. I think that they got a little bit more contributions out of their freshmen than they expected. And as a result, they have a pretty good foundation. You know, they have some holes to fill. Casey Iketa is a top flight defenseman that they need to replace. But certainly Maryland has a tradition of producing those types of defensemen in droves. So I wouldn't be overly concerned if I were a Terp fan. Charlie Raff, the faceoff specialist who I mentioned earlier, is going to be another key component to replace. But faceoff guys are one of the most unpredictable quantities in all of college across, whether it's a transfer or a late commit. You know, we saw it at Syracuse and Denver, two programs that, you know, were going to be middling faceoff specialists facing off heading into the season, ended up with the first and second team All-Americans by virtue of uncommon circumstances. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that if I were a Maryland fan. Offensively, Matt Rambo is a star. He's a catalyst, and he is the guy that they're going to build their team around heading into his junior season. So, you know, a lot of pieces are in place, but, you know, there are a few holes that are going to need to be filled. So a relatively familiar offseason for Maryland under John Tillman, and I think that, you know, in a guy in Kyle Bernlohr, the first-team All-American goalie, who I believe was a redshirt senior, having another year of eligibility left, I guess I would make him a redshirt junior. They have the foundation. They have the building blocks. They'll be, you know, probably a top five team heading in next season.
Terry Foy from Inside the Cross is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Terry, Philadelphia as a site for this Final Four, how was it?
It was good. You know, the trend that we have been following for the last 5 years has been declining attendance at the Final Four. This was the lowest three-day attendance since moving to NFL stadiums in 2003, and certainly that is a disconcerting trend. You know, there is an aspect to the things that the NCAA can do to incentivize folks to show up. Those are oftentimes very separate from the things that they can do to make the most enriching experience possible. And I think that in the latter, which is, you know, half of their agenda, they did a fine job. It's a good facility. It's a great stadium. I think it's a unique thing to play the Final Four on grass, which was cool to see. The Eagle Stadium is very similar to Baltimore in the ability of getting the ease of getting in and out, how, you know, comparatively centrally located it is to downtown. So all of those things were really positive, especially in comparison to the Meadowlands, Foxborough, which is the only other NFL stadium that has hosted the Final Four. So, you know, from that perspective, all good. On the other hand, you know, this continuing downward trend of attendance is something that needs to continue to be addressed, and I'm very interested to see what the NCAA does over the course of the next 6 months in terms of awarding the bids for the 2017 and 2018 championships. We're heading back to Philly in 2016. No matter what, we're going to find out, I think, in the not-too-distant future where we're going in 17 and 18, and I think that that decision is going to come with a more comprehensive plan about how to treat the championship going forward. There's a lot of conversation about whether or not it actually does belong on Memorial Day, whether it belongs in an NFL stadium, what the ticket prices should be. I think all of those questions are going to be answered in one fell swoop, and my hope is that they will be answered, you know, by the end of 2015 for coming into fruition in 2017.